Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we listen to your word, Lord, may your Spirit speak to us, Lord. May we understand fully the power of your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Mark doesn't have a formal introduction. The author wants to state a very important message, and he wants to do it urgently. The message is this staggering statement that he starts off in verse 1, which he calls the readers to pay attention. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is a very simple statement, yet very profound. It has implications in your life and my life. If you believe this statement, it will transform you. And if you share this message, you will see God transforming lives and communities. Let us dissect what Mark is trying to tell us by this verse. First, Mark says that the gospel is about Jesus Christ. Now, what is the meaning of gospel? In the original language, the word gospel is euangelion. What is the meaning of euangelion? In Greek, it basically means good news, good message, someone who brings this message and it is very good to the hearers. Euangelion is where we get the word, English word, evangelist or evangelism from. Now, in the olden days, euangelion is used to declare the birth of the Roman emperor or the reign of a king. So, for example, euangelion, Julius Caesar is the emperor of the empire. That is the good news. And in the olden days, people do not have email, Facebook, Twitter. They don't even have television or handphones. Paper was not even invented. So there needs a messenger to carry this euangelion to the cities and to the village. And so if a general wins a war, the messenger runs ahead to the cities and the villages and declares, "Euangelion, we won." And the one who delivers the good news will be well rewarded because the messenger brings good news. It is very interesting that Mark uses this word to describe about Jesus Christ. It is euangelion. It is as though putting Jesus as someone great, or even greater than any person, any superpower, or any news that you and I ever heard before. Now, why didn't Mark say that this is the beginning of the instruction or advice about Jesus Christ? Why does he say this is good news? Now, February 18 is a very important day for all Singaporeans. And no, it's not related to Chinese New Year. But we can anticipate some ang bao coming on that day, because our Prime Minister will be announcing the budget. And businesses and common folks are looking forward to this budget. We already received good news a few days back. Singaporean household can now claim $300 CDC voucher. Have you heard about this good news? Now imagine, just daydream with me for a while. On budget day, the PM announces education is now free from childcare to tertiary. And in view of the coming election, the government declares free medical benefits for all citizens, no longer need to pay hospital bill. I think the sick will be able to jump for joy. And the best news ever, there will be no more housing debt, because every citizen will be entitled to one HDB flat for free. Y'all want to vote me or not? With such good news, we probably won't look forward to heaven anymore, right? Now, before I move on, I want to reiterate that what I just mentioned is fake news, not good news, huh? So don't go around telling people and spread the fake news. But the point is this. When good news is declared, it is someone who has done something for us. And we don't need to work for it. So if you hear the good news, you won't be saying, no, I still want to be in debt. I still want to pay my housing loan whatsoever. And that is the point of euangelion. God has done something for you and I. And we don't need to do something. So the gospel is not a set of instructions or advice about what you need to do for God. But God has done something in history. So what is it that God has done? What is the gospel about? The gospel, essentially, Mark's good news, is not so much an event or a thing. It is a person. And this person is Jesus Christ. Now, how is Jesus good news to you and I? Mark introduces Jesus in two extraordinary titles that is never used on human beings. First, he is the Christ. The name Jesus means God saves. And Christ is not a nickname or a surname of Jesus. It is a title. It is a title from the Old Testament, Messiah. The Messiah, or the Christ, means God's anointed one, the person that God has commissioned to save his people. And there are many, many passages in the Old Testament which points to this Savior that God will send to save his people from death, from sin, the consequence of it, and to draw near to God. And so since Old Testament time to the New Testament, the people of God has been waiting for this Messiah, this Christ. And so now Mark tells us that this Christ has come, and he is Jesus. And Jesus is not just the appointed Savior. Look at the next title, the Son of God. And the Son of God speaks of Jesus' divine status. He is not an ordinary human messenger. He is God himself. And this is the good news. God has done something for us. He has sent this promised Savior, the very Son of God, God, to us. Now, we heard about what is the gospel. It is the good news that God has done something for us. And he sent Jesus, who is Christ, the Son of God. But how is Jesus good news? Now, when we read the rest of the book of Mark, you will realize how he is good news. And if you are familiar with the gospel, Jesus will pay the penalty of our sin to save us. But in Mark chapter 1, Mark tells us that Jesus is good news because he is going to transform our lives. You see, unlike an emperor's reign or military victory or the temporary budget goodies, which is here today and gone tomorrow, God's good news is to save and transform our lives now and for eternity. And in chapter 7, in verses 7 and 8, John the messenger recognizes his limitation and he knows what Jesus can do. In verse 8, he says, "I baptize you with water, but he," referring to Jesus, "will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Now, the messenger John knows that he's just a messenger. He can only point people to Christ. He can call people to believe in Jesus, to turn to God. But John cannot cause the inner transformation of hearts, minds, and behavior. And John saw who can do that. And so when John says that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit, it indicates that Jesus holds the power to transform lives. Now, there are some Christians who think that baptism in the Holy Spirit means to have some spiritual manifestation, like speaking in tongues. The work of the Holy Spirit can only happen in charismatic circles. But that is a very narrow and limited view of the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizing us in with the Holy Spirit means the renewal and the transformation of life. And that is something from the Old Testament points, that the work of the Spirit is to renew our life, the spiritual renewal of God's people. So one example is in this passage in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel prophesies that God will give us one heart, one spirit, turn our heart of stone into flesh, and that we are able to obey God from within. And what these verses tell us is God is not interested in giving us some short-lived joy or goodies. He wants to give us something deeper, to change our lives that we may draw near to God by the work of his Holy Spirit. And we will look throughout the gospel when you read how lives are being transformed. It is the unworthy, the insignificant, the rejected. They are the ones that are entering the kingdom of God. The fishermen, the tax collector, the prostitutes, the broken, the afflicted, they are becoming Jesus' friend and disciples. And that is what the gospel is doing. Lives are being transformed as people believe in Jesus and the inward transformation of their life happens. My friend Daniel was raised in a single-parent family. Daniel's father passed away when he was 2 years old. And when he was 13, his mother contracted colon cancer. And the family was under very trying circumstances. Daniel had to stop his secondary school education, although his results was pretty good. Daniel and his elder brother had no relatives to turn to for his mother's illness, so the brothers had to move from place to place to stay in friends' and relatives' house. Sometimes they sleep on pavements or by the street. The brothers mingled around the neighborhood of Chinatown and eventually mixed with the wrong company. They joined the secret society and involved in gang-related activities. Daniel got involved with drugs and was addicted to heroin at the tender age of 16 years old. And life that follows is a cycle of addiction, crime, and imprisonment. And Daniel's last conviction was drug trafficking, and he was liable for the death sentence. Fortunately, he escaped the death sentence and was sentenced to 22 years in prison and 15 strokes of the cane. And during his imprisonment, Daniel heard that his brother was also caught for drug trafficking. Unfortunately, the brother was not spared. And Daniel had to get to hear this news from his broken-hearted mother, who visited him in prison. And so Daniel was filled with sadness, brokenness, anger, and he wondered if he had any chance at all to reunite with his mother. He felt so helpless, so meaningless, hopeless. He thought of ending his life. He wondered, after I'm released from prison, what's there for me? Can I earn a decent living? And he was so overwhelmed with the thought of a hopeless future, he wanted to end his life together with all his despair and his anger. So one night, Daniel was contemplating to do that. But he heard at the prison court, there was this Christian group singing Amazing Grace. And it was a Christian outreach program. And then the song was followed by another Chinese song, Yo Yi Jian Li Wu, Yi Jian Li Wu. And then there was a short message on John 3:16, where it says, God loves you so much, gave his one and only son. Daniel was touched by that message. And he asked God to prove himself by giving him hope to live for another night. But when Daniel asked that question, somehow he broke down and he cried. You see, Daniel said, you know, as a gangster, I never cry. Even when my mom had cancer and my brother was sentenced to death, I didn't cry. But somehow this experience broke me down. And so Daniel thought, this must be a real God. And so he knelt and he prayed. In prison, God awakened Daniel in time to come, gave him hope, opened his eyes to see meaning and purpose. So Daniel began to study in prison. He did well for his N level, O level, and then A levels. And something deep also happened in Daniel. He began to have God's love compelled him to reach the weaker student, and he became a full-time tutor. And when he was released, there was an opportunity to work under the prison fellowship in Singapore and to minister to inmates, ex-offenders. And then another amazing opportunity came. A group of Christians decided to support him to study at Trinity Theological College. I see Reverend Daniel now and then at our EP, English Presbytery Senior Minister Fellowship. Today, Reverend Daniel is the minister and the only pastor at All Saints Presbyterian Church. A bubbly man, always cheerful, always willing to help. And Serena and I also get to know his wife, whom God has blessed, Reverend Daniel. And in his testimony, Daniel shared this. I once was lost and hopeless. I wonder what my life would become if I didn't take that changing step to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I won't be able to imagine the transforming work of God in my life and was trapped in this cycle. And my deepest gratitude to God's saving grace and the restoration of my life. Brothers and sisters, Daniel's testimony tells of the power of the gospel, what God can do deep inside of us. Jesus can baptize us with the Holy Spirit and use our lives for his glory. That is the power of the gospel. That is the good news. Jesus is the good news. Jesus is the good news because he can transform our lives. How then should we respond to this good news? You see, later in verse 15, the Lord says, Jesus says, the time is fulfilled, which means to say, now is the time, and the kingdom of God is at hand. God is offering his kingdom to his people. And there are these two very important words, repent and believe. These two words are imperatives. In other words, they are non-negotiable. They are a command. Now, what does it mean to repent? In the original language, to repent is to think differently, to reconsider. You are walking in this direction that leads you to destruction. Now, turn. Turn and follow Jesus Christ. That is to repent. But it's very interesting to note that in this passage, John, or Jesus, is not reaching out to the Gentiles and calling them to repent. If you look at verses 4 and 5, it is the whole Judean countryside and the people of Jerusalem that was turning to John to repent. In other words, these people know the faith. They are believers. But it is to these people that the message was given. The point is, believers are also called to turn from their lives and to turn to Jesus. Now, as we begin this year, it is also good to reevaluate our walk and our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Are there habits or lifestyle that we need to turn away so that we can draw closer to Christ? Is Jesus Christ and Lord over our career, our studies, our work, our money, our possession? What areas of our life do we need to surrender to him? We respond to Jesus by repenting. We also respond to Jesus by believing. And for those of us who are still thinking about whether or not we should believe in Jesus, today's message tells us that there's only one Christ that God has sent. And there's no one greater than the Son of God. And Jesus' identity tells us that we cannot remain neutral about him. Heaven's King has come. So will you do nothing, leave him out of your life, or believe and let him transform your life? Jesus invites us to turn and to believe in him, to experience his Spirit working deep inside of us and to transform our life. And if you have experienced the goodness of knowing Jesus, then we will also respond by telling the message. It is like when you have tasted something good, you've been to a good restaurant, you found something that was so delicious that you won't keep it to yourself. You will start sharing with your family members and friends. The text shows us an example, and that is the person of John. John prepared for Jesus' arrival by telling people about Jesus Christ. And he felt so compelled to tell the gospel and to prepare people. Brothers and sisters, do you realize that you and I hold a message that is so powerful that it can change life and transform it? In another passage, Paul the apostle says that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power. When he uses this word power, in the original language is dunamis, where you get the word dynamite. To Paul the apostle, the gospel is a dynamite. It can explode and change lives. And so therefore, Paul is not ashamed to share the gospel and even to suffer for it, because he knows that there is no other message that can bring hope, that can give life, that can transform people. It is only the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we heard Reverend Daniel's testimony. This message can transform lives. God can turn a hardened criminal into a pastor. And most of us have also experienced the power of this gospel. My life was also changed when I know Christ. And as a church, we have been transforming lives and communities for the past 33 years. If I do a quick survey, close to one-third of this congregation, together with your families, are here today because of the gospel work in Presbyterian High School. 3 out of our 5 pastors, 1 more in Theological College, are alumni of the school. And God has expanded our ministry to the primary school, Anderson Primary. Today, this year, we have 5 Anderson Primary School kids, BBGB boys and girls, who have joined PHS. And let's pray that as they come to PHS, the work of the gospel can work in their lives. One day, this congregation will also be filled with students who were from APS. Now, all these testimonies tell us that God will transform lives if you and I go and share the gospel. Not just APS or PHS, but also St. Luke's Elder Care in Ang Mo Kio Avenue 3, as the church ministers, seniors are also turning to Christ. We have been given this mandate, and Jesus tells us at the end of Mark, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That is our mandate. A key part of our mission as a church is to make disciples in PHS and in our communities, wherever God places us. Our vision is to influence others towards Christ-likeness. We can only do that unless we tell the message. We can do that by telling the message. And one of our pillars as a church is making disciples. So in line with our mission, our vision, our pillar, our ministry direction, one of the key thrusts of our ministry direction is to build an evangelism culture among us. Now, culture is not easy to build. It takes time. It takes effort. And so there are a few ways that we're going to do it. as a church this year. One, we're going to study the book of Mark to revisit the meaning of the gospel, the impact, and the person of Jesus Christ. And then we take it further in our through our in-house Bible study material, which we will discuss in our cell groups. Now, I understand that sharing the good news can be a challenge. How to do it? What are we supposed to say? And that is why we have this class, Evangelism 101. Do sign up if you have not. In the meantime, we can be lambs for Christ. You still remember what this is? Look out for someone. Who is a person that God has placed in your life? Ask God, pray for this person, makan with the person, you know, find time to reach out to this person. At a certain point, when the Spirit moves your heart, proclaim the gospel. And then share this testimony so that we encourage one another. And as we do that, come July, there is the Alpha, where people can ask anything about Jesus Christ, the Youth Alpha and the Adult Alpha. Brothers and sisters, think about the people around you who have not heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what the gospel can do in their lives? We have the best news in the world, the most powerful news the world can ever imagine. But don't keep it with you. Don't be ashamed to share it. Because when you do, lives will be changed. God invites us to be His messenger, and let us respond by transforming lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the powerful message of Jesus Christ that a lot of us here have heard and have received. But forgive us, Lord, that at times we keep this message, we grow in our Christian life and become mundane about it. We forgot about the power of this gospel. So, Father, as we leave this place, reignite in our hearts, through your Spirit, the need and the passion to share the gospel so that many more lives and communities can be transformed and have hope, meaning, and purpose. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Srimal, for the message. Church, the closing song, To the Ends of the Earth, calls us to share the love and message of Jesus Christ with everyone, everywhere. As we sing, let us commit ourselves to this mission, declaring our willingness to go wherever He leads us. May our hearts be ignited with passion for those who have yet to hear Jesus' name as we leave our voices in praise. Let us all stand as we sing this closing song, To the Ends of the Earth.
the Son of God, for all the world will see that you are God.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the incredible call you have placed on our lives to share your love and truth with the world. Empower us with your Holy Spirit to be bold witnesses for you, reaching every corner of the earth with the message of hope and salvation found in Jesus Christ. May our hearts be ignited with passion for those who have yet to hear your name, and we may be instruments of your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.